Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, would you read it with me? God's Search and Rescue Team. Based especially in our gospel reading for today, Luke 15, this verse. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep, and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? I invite you to turn your worship handout over and find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, God's Search and Rescue Team. And I begin our message today by sharing a modern parable to you. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often happen, there was once a crude little life-saving station. It was nothing more than a wooden hut, and they only had one rowboat. But the few devoted members at that station were constant watch over the sea. With no thought for themselves, they went out day and night into the waters, searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this little life-saving station. And the station grew. It soon became a popular gathering place for its members. And they decorated it beautifully. They began to use it as sort of a club. Now, fewer members were now interested in going out to the sea and life-saving missions. So they hired a lifeboat crew to do the work for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crew brought in boatloads of cold and wet people. Some were dirty. Some were sick. Some spoke a different language, were from a different culture. They didn't know the rules of the fancy club. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the property committee had a meeting and decided to build a shower outside of the clubhouse, that visitors who wanted to come into their clubhouse had to take a shower before coming in. At the next meeting of the membership, there was a split in the membership. Many of the members wanted to stop their life-saving work because it got in the way of the activities of the social club. Those who said that, by golly, life-saving was their reason for existence were voted down by the majority. They were told if they wanted to continue their life-saving missions and bring into the clubhouse those kind of people, they could begin their own life-saving stations down the coast. And that's what they did. Today, if you visit that seacoast, you'll find a number of exclusive life-saving stations. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters. But now, most of the people drown. Here, I think, is a pretty clear parable about the modern church of today that might be busy doing many things, but has lost its focus as a life-saving station for the lost. Let's ask ourselves this question today. Are we here at Trinity Lutheran Church so busy making our club members happy and keeping this clubhouse pretty that we've forgotten our primary calling as a life-saving station? In today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells some church people of his day, they were called Pharisees, that God is in the business of searching out and saving those who are lost. Verses 1 and 2 says of Luke chapter 15, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble among themselves, saying, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners, and he even eats with them." These religious leaders, these self-righteous Pharisees, wanted nothing to do with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were fellow Jews who worked for the hated Roman government. They were considered traitors. Sinners were anybody, according to a Pharisee, who didn't abide by the strict rules for worship and life that the Pharisees had devised. The Pharisees could not imagine why a godly rabbi like Jesus would befriend and even sit down and eat a meal with tax collectors and sinners. Now, like it or not, Jesus tells them at that time and tells us today that this is the very nature of God. And this is what God wants of his people. Almighty God is in the business of seeking out, loving, and saving the outcast, the hurting, the wounded, those on the fringes. And there is no room in the life of the Christian believer or in the Christian church for a nose turned up, holier than thou attitude toward those who aren't a part of the club. I meet more people than I want to as a pastor who are not in church because of how they've been treated by churchgoers. To get his point across about God's nature is to seek and save the lost, Jesus tells the Luke 15 parable of the lost sheep. Listen to his words again. "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture, go after the one which is lost, and when he finds it, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, then gathers his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.'" Jesus goes on to say, "I tell you the truth, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the 99 righteous people who need no repentance." In Christ's time, owning 100 sheep was a sign of great prosperity. Was it really good business sense to leave the 99 and go after just the one? Why not just cut your losses and move on? Heck, 99 out of 100 is not bad. Why was the one so important? In this parable, Jesus has his first hearers, and he has us just where he wants us. He knew that the Pharisees of that day and we today just love quoting Psalm 100 that says, "We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture." That is, we pride ourselves, as did the Pharisees, in being the 99. But the Pharisees and we much really don't like Isaiah 53 that says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way." That is, we don't want to see ourselves as the one that is lost. In fact, a famous Pharisaical saying at the time of Jesus said this. Look on your sermon outline. It's Roman numeral 2, point B. Do you have it in front of you? Roman numeral 2, point B. If you have it, say it with me. This was a famous Pharisee saying. Read it with me. "There is a joy before God when those who provoke him perish from the world." That was a famous saying they had. This pretty much summarizes the Pharisees' attitude toward the lost. Now, contrast these words with what Jesus says about himself in John chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost." The truth is that we and the Pharisees need to see ourselves as the lost. It's so easy to see ourselves as the 99 that we miss the entire point of Jesus' parable. If we cannot see ourselves as the one lost for whom Jesus has come, then we will likely have little sympathy for people today who find themselves in a lost condition of life. The truth is, there are many ways to be lost today. Some people today, I know they were there yesterday at Harold's memorial service. They talked to me afterward. And some people today, this morning, may know the lostness of never having felt God's love or having accepted His forgiveness. Others are lost because they no longer want Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to guide their lives. At one time they were under His care, but now they've made the bad decision to go it on my own. Still others have lost their direction in life. They've chased after so many alternatives this world has to offer. They've lost a clear conviction of God's right and God's wrong. They've given in to the popular dead-end street of, but everybody's doing it. Some here today, I know there were from yesterday, the people who were here, some here today may be in the lostness of a broken relationship, feeling unloved, feeling left in the dust, wondering if anybody really cares about them, even God. But my friends, by far the worst lostness is this. And if you've tuned out of the sermon and are taking some Z's right now, now's the time to tune in. By far the worst lostness there is not even knowing that we're lost. Like the Pharisees in Luke 15. And the evidence the Pharisees were lost, and the evidence sometimes that we are lost, are these. Here are the symptoms. A lack of even caring about the spiritually lost. An insensitivity to the pains and struggles of others. An attitude of judgmentalism toward others and the mess they've gotten themselves into. Does this sound like any modern churches or believers? Does it sound at times like us? Does it sound like the opening parable of the life-saving station? Well, I hope you're ready for some good news. The good news is this. And the alarm here on the sirens will awaken you to this good news. However you are lost, Jesus has left the 99, and He's searching just for you. Please know that our shepherd's staff is always in the shape of a cross. The shepherd's staff in the shape of a cross tells us His attitude toward the lost, toward the wounded. The attitude of our Savior is always of forgiveness, not judgment. The shepherd's staff is that crook-necked staff He uses to gently care for and guide the sheep that He loves. It's never used to punish. Above our altar, take another look, will you? Take a look at our shepherd on His cross. What an absolute clear picture of Him seeking and saving those who are lost. There at the cross, my friend, see the very heart of God. There at the cross, see what God is all about. Now, lest this point is missed in Luke chapter 15, Jesus leaves the parable of the lost sheep and moves on to parable number 2, the parable of the lost coins. He begins it with verse 8. Or suppose what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses just one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? What's the big deal, lady, over one measly coin? She had 10. She still got 9. 9 out of 10's not bad. But this coin was a drachma, worth about the daily wage of a laborer at that time, about 20 cents. But the issue here was not the value of the single coin. The 10 coins came from a special headband she wore around her head. It was called a samedi. Samedi was like an engagement present from her beloved. The engagement present from her beloved had 10 coins to proclaim his never-ending love for her, how precious she was to him. And one of the coins came loose and was lost. Now, the search for a coin in a Palestinian home was not an easy search. A Palestinian home had a dirt floor covered with straw for the animals they brought in at night. A Palestinian home seldom had windows large enough for real strong sunlight to come in. Luke 15, verse 8 says, it describes her search. She lit a lamp, she swept the house, and she searched carefully. The point of Jesus' parable is this. If this woman would go to all this trouble to find one little measly coin that market value was only 20 cents because it represented her beloved's love for her, how much more would God search for you and me and for all sinners whom he loves so dearly? Did you notice where the coin was lost? It was lost in the house. Now, why or how it was lost, we're not told, but we know it was in the house. So what? The pious Pharisees of Jesus' day referred to themselves as the household of Israel. And today, this spiritual house is the Christian church. The point is, and I hope you can catch this point with all its impact, the point is, some people can get lost from God even within the house of the church. Let me ask you, how about some inactive members of our congregation you haven't seen in months or years? Do you know why they're not here? Do you care why they're not here? Or is it just easier not to get involved, or maybe even to sit in judgment, or just to be in a hurry for the coffee hour after worship? How about those who attend worship on a regular basis? You see them every week, but who feel lost inside and don't feel they can share their pain with somebody else. And they wonder, if I really shared the pain of my lostness, would others just turn away from me? Each and every week as your pastor, I'm in touch with people who are on the fringes in our congregation. Folks in various stages of feeling lost. And they wonder, is anybody really looking for me? Now comes the challenge of the sermon. A challenge for each one of us who have gathered here today. Not a challenge for the person sitting next to you. Not a challenge for the person sitting behind you or in front of you. A challenge for you, and here it is. Ask God today to lay on your heart the name of one person in this congregation or in your life who is lost and hurting. And in the name of Jesus, cast away that old Pharisaical attitude of, I'm glad I'm not like them. But ask the Holy Spirit of the living God to give you the eyes of Christ to see them. And to, like Jesus, leave the 99 with whom you feel so comfortable. Seek out and search and invite and bring with you that one who is lost. This is our role as part of God's search and rescue team. Now, how do both parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep end? It ends with a party. When they're found, there's a big celebration thrown, and everybody's invited. Now, Jesus describes the lost coming home, and I quote, as joy in heaven and joy in the presence of the angels. My friends, each of us, me included, need to catch a new vision of this heavenly joy of the lost being found. If you're following your outline, we now come to the last illustration of the sermon. Along with her own family, once in a congregation, there was a woman who brought her father to worship every Sunday. He was alone now without his wife. And father liked to sit up in front, right here where the Tweedies would be sitting, if they could be with us, in front of Gretchen. Father liked to sit up front and be close to the sermon and be close to the action. Sometimes father of this woman would get so entailed in the sermon that he would encourage the preacher with words like, "Amen," and "That's right," and even an occasional "Hallelujah." Obviously, the guy wasn't Lutheran. Well, the preacher never seemed to mind these exclamations of support. These outbursts became increasingly embarrassing to the daughter, till she finally decided to make a deal with her dear old dad. And she said, "Dad, I tell you what. If you try hard for the whole next month to be quiet during pastor's sermons, I will buy you that new pair of hunting boots that you've wanted for years. You just got to be quiet." He was quiet for the next 2 weeks. He kept quiet by saying to himself, "I want those boots. I want those boots." But on the third Sunday, the pastor was preaching a wonderful message of God's love and mercy, searching out and saving the lost. And the longer the pastor preached, the more passionately he preached. Dear old dad was beside himself. The message was just too powerful. He finally could restrain himself no longer until he exclaimed for all in the congregation to hear, "Boots or no boots, hallelujah." My friends, may each of us here today regain this same sense of joy in our salvation, in God's love for the lost, and especially in our privilege of being a part of God's search and rescue team. In the name of Jesus, amen.